the supply chain, really almost every DoD system now uses microelectronic components that are manufactured somewhere else. So increasingly DoD's discovered that it has unwanted additions and maybe even capabilities on these components that could really severely jeopardize the integrity of our systems. And sometimes they're just counterfeit copy, something we call from the gray market. You may remember earlier this year the Senate issued a report that talked about counterfeit parts that are going into new Air Force cargo planes, and these have cropped up other places that jeopardize our actual security.
How do you see the Pentagon addressing this issue? What would you like to see them do?
Well, you know, the fact that they've got this report is significant, and the Pentagon has said that they are enacting things and taking steps to do this. But that really is the first thing. U.S. leaders beyond the Pentagon really have to recognize the threats, bring all the stakeholders to the table, and really negotiate solutions, because it goes beyond DOD. We have to be concerned about our critical infrastructures that affect DOD, which include power grid and energy sector in general, transportation, and then the telecommunications industry, which largely the entire nation, including Department of Defense, relies upon.
Can you envision some sort of organizational change, something like maybe the Defense Logistics Agency starts to take a bigger role in this, or maybe just redefine the duties and responsibilities of the chief information officers?
Right. The DOD is the farthest along on addressing the supply chain threat, but I do think that policy directors, the executive branch, the legislative branch are going to have to get involved to providing emphasis, doctrinal support for supply chain type of initiatives, and really some money. I mean, we need to invest in this, and hopefully that will also help the non-DOD critical infrastructures as well. So, yes, there may be some structural changes that come out, but the recognition that there's a major problem is going to be the first instance.
Well, I want to take that idea of investing. So we're talking to Admiral Jamie Barnett from the Potomac Institute with his top three priorities for 2013 going forward for the administration and federal government. Investing is an interesting idea because in some ways a priority is looking at what other countries are investing. You're looking at global competition, and you use a phrase called New World Competitors. Can you describe to me what you mean by New World Competitors, and how is that going to play into what the federal government is planning for in 2013?
Well, you know, the United States really used to be the absolute world leader in all science and technology areas. And part of that was because we invested so much in those exploration, the discovery, the innovation, both basic research and applied research, and a pretty good job of making that transition from research into actual usable products and services. But now, China and Europe really discovered the secret of investing in science, technology, and industry, and the result is we see a significant shift in market control, national capability, international influence in some parts of the world, and obviously China is the one that comes to mind first. So, you know, the United States still has a dominant position, but we really need to have a thoughtful approach to the national security structure and our the way that we approach science and technology strategy. And that goes, it absolutely cuts across the board, because, I mean, we even need to think about how we do education and how we do immigration. I mean, we train a lot of the world's scientists here, and then we invite them to go home. Maybe we need to really look at better ways to keep them here, and certainly industry is crying for this. So it is a cross-the-board look at how we approach science and technology in response to these new world competitors.
So growth is going to be a major component of that, I would imagine. Where do you envision seeing the resources for that growth coming from?
Well, you know, as the economy comes back, I think that things are going to get easier. We're obviously looking at the fiscal cliff right now. But one of the things I think we have to protect is that science and technology investment on the government side, and then making sure that we make a priority of transferring that so that we continue to grow industry. That technological transfer has been something that's big for the United States. And the other aspect of it is not just the financial growth aspect, but, you know, we're now, we've wound down the war in Iraq, we've winding down the war in Afghanistan, it becomes necessary for us to have a really fresh look at our world force disposition and strategy. And people have talked about refocusing on the Pacific, but really it's broader than that. We really need to think about what our global priorities are, and that's one of the things I hope we do is first we need to sit down and really talk about how we what we want to accomplish, you know, how our strategies need to be changed across the year, and then how that drives our world force disposition and really our investments in the Department of Defense.
As we go forward into that global growth and we make those investments, the technology itself is evolving at a very rapid pace. And you write that we should be on the lookout for technological surprises. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so this is a logical outgrowth of the second point where we maybe have not been keeping up with our investment in science and technology, the research and development that we needed to. So there is that. There's always the possibility someone's going to come up with some technological surprise and catch us flat-footed. But I would say because we haven't been investing the way that perhaps we should have in science and technology, it's even a greater concern now. So we have to anticipate technological leaps. There may be any number of ways that this comes up. Part of them, I guess you might say the very imaginable problems of new cyber weapons that might surprise us. We've already seen some out there, but we kind of lead the world in that right now, but it doesn't mean there aren't other people aren't doing great work out there. But then there are other things that are a little bit more esoteric, quantum computing technology. The first nation that really can achieve this capability will really have tremendous abilities compared to the other nations. And in the same way, it's a related thing that we talk about big data, so the massive data analysis and control, being able to understand and correlate and manipulate huge amount of data, really will give whoever gets there first a tremendous advantage.
Well, I'm a little disappointed because on that list of technologies, nowhere do you mention a Death Star.
So I saw the piece about the petitions that we do a Death Star. That may be next year's DoD challenges.